The Fan on Demand. We're always taking callers for him to hang up on. This is the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
The operative number heading into yesterday's Jays Orioles game was 340. 340 was the combined career batting average the Orioles lineup had against Mark Burley. Of course, you know that Mark Burley received an awful lot of offensive help yesterday, but he also pitched his way through and around a very, very tough lineup en route to an 11-3 Jays win. The Jays pounded out 17 hits in support of Mark Burley. Mark Burley giving up a very, very limited number of hits and lowering his ERA in the process to 0.86. He's 3-0 with ERA 0.86. Totally different than the Mark Burley we saw last year. In fact, and how odd is this? There have been, you know, people talk about how starting pitching determines how a team's going to do and how the Blue Jays will live and die in their starting pitching. That's pretty much been the case this year. The starting pitching has been really good when they win. The starting pitching has been really bad when the Jays lose. Buck Martinez is the play-by-play voice of the Blue Jays. He joins us on Sportsnet. Buck, thanks so much for doing this.
Jeff, great to be with you this morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. I watched that game yesterday, and my first thought when I looked at the lineup is, honestly, I thought, okay, this is going to be a long day. A lot of guys with some pretty hefty numbers against Mark Burley. But Buck, he looks, and this is going to seem strange because Mark Burley has kind of been the same guy all along. He looks different earlier this year compared to last year. I don't think he's throwing harder. I mean, I don't think that's ever the case with Mark Burley, but it seems to me that he's making more effective use of the fastball this year.
And Jeff, there's a lot of things that have factored into his improved start this year. Last April, he had a 6.35 earned run average. He made five starts, and there was 1-1. This year, he came into camp in better shape. He worked hard to come in and get off to a good start. The second thing he did, traditionally, throughout his career, and it's a long career, he would always skip a start toward the end of spring training, figuring that he wanted to conserve some of his energy and get off to a good start. Well, this year he didn't do that, and he threw more innings, and he got himself fine-tuned. You'll remember the game he threw against the Yankees in spring training, where it was crisp. He was working with Navarro. The quality of his pitches was great. This guy's a real pro, and I think he, like R.A. Dickey, are much more comfortable in the second season with the Blue Jays than they were in the first, and he's gotten off to a great start.
And, you know, Buck, watching that game yesterday, it seemed to me that the bottom of the third inning, and I know both you and Pat referred to this, Deonor Navarro came out, they had a discussion on the mound, Navarro put his hand on Burley's shoulder, they locked up Matt Wieters on an 86-mile-an-hour two-seamer called third strike, and that just seemed to, boy, put the wind in his sails from that point on, and actually, it seemed to put the wind in the sails of the team from that point on.
It sure did, and that was a key moment. And we have seen this several times already this year with Deonor Navarro. He did it with Santos in his first save. He has been a calming influence behind the plate and also during the breaks in between innings where he'll go sit down and he'll talk about things with the pitcher, and it's a very calming impact. Remember, this guy's playing every day for the first time in 5 years. So he's got a lot on the line, and he wants to prove that he's an everyday catcher once again. Plus, he comes with a pedigree. He grew up in the Tampa Bay organization. He started out with the Yankees, but he really cut his teeth on Tampa Bay pitching. And that's where he learned how to take command of a game. And he's done a terrific job so far. You know, we talk about Burley. Let's don't forget about McGowan and Hutchison. The starters in that three-game series threw 19 in the third innings and gave up one run to the Orioles, who everybody says is the best offensive team in the division. So the starters did a terrific job setting up that series win.
Yeah, and you know, there was, you talked about the crispness, and you've been talking about this since we sat down in spring training. There's a different level of readiness that I see in the field on the part of this team. It's not just Brett Laurie making those great plays. Maybe it's just the fact that Melky Cabrera's health makes everything look better defensively, but I'm watching this team in the field, and I don't get the sense that I got in the first month last year where there was calamity. Calamity was just a ground ball away. I don't get that sense anymore. And in point of fact, Buck, on the Orioles broadcast yesterday, I watched a little bit of their pre-show, and Buck Showalter said that, which I thought was huge praise for the Jays outfield. He said, other than our outfield, other than the Orioles Gold Glove outfield, he said, I think the Jays, with Melky healthy, have the best outfield defense in baseball.
That's high praise. And, you know, Buck is a student of the game, and he likes to evaluate the opposition. And you go back to the overall attitude, the overall approach of this team, and I'm going to give Jose Bautista a lot of credit for that. When you look at Bautista every single day in spring training, he did everything 100% correct. He ran to his position. He threw the ball well in practice. He shagged the balls. He set a high, high standard for all those outfielders. And that carries on into the infield. Plus the fact that we had Bonifacio at second base. He had a three-error game early in the season last year. His Stewart was out of position playing third base. No Brett Laurie. No Reyes after the 10th game. The stability that Ryan Goins, Jonathan Sanchez, and his Stewart, until he got hurt, provide up the middle has been remarkable. And then you've got, you know, that circus play over at third. He makes a great play every day. I mean, a great play. And we had a great shot of Mark Burley looking at him after he made that play in the foul line, as if to say, are you for real? But he is playing as well as any third baseman in baseball.
We also, of course, yesterday saw Brett Laurie break out of, I'm going to call it a funk. I'm not really going to call it a slump. He, I don't know if even broke out is a word, but he had a home run. He had a couple of good at-bats. Colby Rasmus looks like he might be on one of those Colby Rasmus roles we saw last year, where he just, I don't know what it is, Buck. I don't know if it's, you know what, an outdoor game. Outside a dome, an afternoon game, outdoor, just like spring training used to, whatever the reason, guys just seem to be, those two players in particular, seem to see the ball so well yesterday. And you could tell just, not just by the hits, but by their reaction to close pitches, too.
Yeah, it was, I think it was a combination of several things, and you're right on the money. It was a gorgeous day. It was about 80 degrees, and everybody felt like baseball once again. And the bats came alive. They set season high in runs and hits and home runs. And, you know, this is the way this club can hit. We've known that. And for the people to say, well, you know, Kevin Seitzer's theory isn't working. We played 13 games.
Mm-hmm.
13 games. Give the guys a chance to settle in. The pitchers have had the upper hand, plus the fact, just tick off the names of the starters Blue Jays have had to face through their first 13 games. It's been an all-star list of starting pitchers, but, you know, that's life in the major leagues. You're going to get that. The good news for the Blue Jays, they move into Minnesota, where Bautista and Encarnacion have always had great series.
Yeah, and, boy, you know, watching Edwin collect a couple of RBIs, you know, again, it's very much like last year. It's almost identical to last year, isn't it? That slow start. And then it's the RBIs just keep on coming.
You know what? He ended up with 9 home runs and 20 RBIs in April after a similar start to this. And Minnesota might be just what the doctor ordered for Edwin. He's always hit well in this ballpark. And he's seeing the ball well. He was on base 4 times yesterday. Ling was on base 5 times. This is a potent lineup. And when you get Reyes back in the top of the order and put Cabrera in the second spot, then Bautista, Lind, Encarnacion, Navarro, Rasmus, it's a deep lineup. And Kevin Seitzer's getting kind of giddy over what this team can do offensively.
Buck, Mycerus Turris hurt his knee to some degree. We'll know that, I guess he's having an MRI today. We'll know the extent of that. Colby Rasmus left the game with a tight hamstring. Mycerus Turris has been in the early going, has been a real contributor offensively and defensively to this team. Now Munenori Kawasaki is up here. They're already without Reyes. Is it a lot to expect Jonathan Diaz and Munenori Kawasaki to kind of keep things together until Reyes gets back here?
No. Jonathan Diaz is an exceptional defensive player. I think he's the new version of Johnny Mack at shortstop and second. He can play both positions. And I don't think they're going to miss a beat defensively. And nobody's going to replace the upbeat offense of Reyes. So you take what you can get. And then, you know, Jonathan Diaz has given the club great at bats. You know, he's got four RBIs. I mean, anybody expect that? He's got, and Edwin's just picked up his first two. So Jonathan has been a very good role player, and that's all they ask of him. And now they have the added protection of Munenori. And I think Jay Happ goes into the bullpen, and you leave the rotation just the way it is. Then you have Redmond and Happ as long men, and the rest of the bullpen sets up very effectively.
You know, Buck, we haven't had a chance to talk. This is the first, I should say, first chance we've had to talk since Dustin McGowan's last outing. What did you see from Dustin in that outing that said to you that, okay, this is, you know, you may be able to expect a little more. It's not going to be like that every night, but you're going to get that type of representative performance every night. What did you see from Dustin that suggested that maybe he had turned a corner?
A much better quality pitch. Mm-hmm. He was working down in the zone, and like we see with Burley, it doesn't make so much difference how hard you throw. It's how well you place the ball and how much movement you have when you locate the ball, and that's what he was doing on Friday night. His fastball was explosive down, and it was 91-92. It wasn't 98, but his slider was a wipeout slider, and he's encouraged by the fact that he's starting to get the feel back for his curveball. It's a pitch that obviously he hasn't been able to work on much because he hasn't pitched much.
Right.
But hopefully he'll get the chance to pitch, and that breaking ball will come back to complement his other pitches.
Buck, it was good of you to do this. Enjoy the off day in Minnesota as this road trip continues. And, I said in my intro, you know, whatever you think of the American League East, you've got to beat the teams right in front of you. And
that's for sure.
It's a tough lineup that Baltimore ran out there, and I think the Jays have to feel pretty good about themselves after that weekend series.
Well, I know they do, and they're looking forward to meeting up with the Twins tomorrow night.
Take care, Buck.
All right, Jeff. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. That is Buck Martinez, the play-by-play voice of the Blue Jays on Sportsnet. The Jays have the day off in Minnesota. Minneapolis, by the way, a vastly underrated city. The Jays have the day off in Minnesota. They start a series against the Twinkies. Then they've got the Cleveland Indians. After that, a really good series for the Jays in Baltimore on a lot of levels. I know there were a lot of people, I was on Twitter on Sunday, a lot of people upset with the way Saturday's game turned out. A lot of people pointing the fingers at John Gibbons and Moises Sierra, and I think more than anything else, that was a game, that game Saturday was a game the Jays starting lineup lost for them. But then yesterday, the bats did come alive. 17 hits, an 11-3 win. Mark Burley pitched really well. After that third inning, that at-bat with Matt Wieters, where they locked him up in a called third strike, a terrific 86-mile-an-hour. It was a two-seam fastball. It was just perfectly placed. And it seemed as if that was the impetus. That was the pitch. Here's some of the numbers for Mark Burley against the Baltimore Orioles. He gave up 10 home runs in 50 innings, or he's given up 10 home runs in 50 innings over 9 career starts at Camden Yards. That was coming into yesterday. In 2 starts last year, the Orioles hit, this is in Camden Yards, they hit 4 home runs, and they had 11 runs scored in 6 1/3 innings against Mark Burley at Camden Yards. All their runs were scored in home runs. And it cannot be stressed enough that the Mark Burley we're seeing this year early is a lot different than the Mark Burley we saw early last year. Burley's already 3-0. He's got an ERA of 0.86. And I think Buck's right. There's a different pitcher. I mean, it's hard to imagine a guy with that pedigree and has been around as long as he have would be a different pitcher, but he's just more effective this year. He's more effective early, and a lot of it has to do with that change in his spring training regimen, where he didn't do what he normally does and skip a start, and he made all his starts in spring training, and he really has hit the ground running. 416-870-0590, star 590, 1-888-666-0590, the numbers to call. I want to discuss that series win over the Baltimore Orioles and ask you. I mean, we spent so much time in the offseason and in spring training. I mean, all we talked about was the starting rotation. All we talked about was how the starting rotation was going to determine how far this team went, what a disaster it was. A lot of you wanted Ubaldo Jimenez. A lot of us wanted Irvin Santana. We wanted Alex Anthopoulos to do something. Now, there are a variety of reasons out there for why Alex Anthopoulos didn't do anything. You know what? In some ways, it looks a little bit like the Raptors in that I don't think Masai Ujiri, when he made the Rudy Gay deal, looked at the situation and said, boy, I just made a trade that got me the Atlantic Division title. It was a decision, an economic decision. It was a chance to move a crappy contract. Alex Anthopoulos appears to have had his hands tied this offseason. Doesn't do anything. And now he's sitting there looking at a rotation that's better than a lot of people thought. Could Alex Anthopoulos, could he and Masai Ujiri both be holding the same horseshoe? I mean, it's early. And, you know, with the Jays, they're only one bad series away from panic station. But as we get ready for that series against Minnesota, they've got Minnesota and Cleveland. It's a chance to make some hay here if you're the Blue Jays a little bit. Got to ask you. 7-6. I didn't think they'd be 7-6 after this. I figured the Jays might have 5 wins. I had them down for like 5-8. 7-6. They've beaten the Orioles in a series in Camden Yards, and the Orioles have a great lineup. Got to ask you about that rotation. Did we underestimate the rotation? 416-870-0590, star 590, 1-888-666-0590. You know what? Because we're going to be doing nothing but talking about Brendan Shanahan. Anything you want to talk about the Blue Jays, we can do that as well. Eddie and Fort Erie, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. What's up, Eddie?
Not much, Jeff. How are you today?
I'm doing well.
How was your weekend?
Sucked. No, it was okay. I'm just kidding.
I know you were. You know what? I want to talk about Burley's outing yesterday. You know what I noticed in the bottom of the first when he gave up those two hits? I mean, it was like, oh, no, he's going to, you know, like crap, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And you know what I thought? Like, Navarro really calmed him down, you know, and that's something that's really helped Burley, you know, like whenever he got in trouble, like Navarro calmed him down. And I don't think Aaron Sebia last year did much of that to calm Burley down. That's why I really believe Burley is pitching with more determination and a little bit of a chip on his shoulder too for this season, I think.
Well, I don't know if Mark Burley ever has a chip in his shoulder. I'd like to think that there were some players on that team last year that were embarrassed by what happened. I like to think there are some guys that sat home at the off season and thought, you know, that just wasn't good enough. I mean, I don't know. I still believe that today's professional athlete in every sport, that 95% of their motivation comes from money. But I think there are guys that sit there and say, you know what? We really did stink. I mean, the Jays were so bad last year compared to people's expectations. And I think there's enough guys there in that clubhouse with enough pride that really bothered them. And the thing about Mark Burley, and I noticed this last year, it's kind of his reputation as well. I think Mark Burley is fundamentally a really decent person. And I think he knows and knew that last year wasn't good enough. And I think he knew he had to do something different this year. Cam in Hamilton, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Hey, Jeff, thanks for taking my call.
No problem.
Hey, I just wanted to say, you know, when they announced they picked up Navarro, I have to admit, I was pretty skeptical. I wasn't very excited. I didn't think that'd be a huge upgrade, but man, was I wrong. I think he's the difference maker for the pitching staff. I think he's calling a great game, and he's a clutch batter. What I'd like to see is him catch Dickey. I wonder how that would make a difference for Dickey.
You know what? I'll tell you the thing with Donner Navarro. You really have to watch his workload. This is a guy who hasn't been a full-time catcher for a couple of years. It's going to get hot in the summer. I mean, you know what it's like playing playing at the Rogers Center in artificial turf in the summer. You've really got to watch his playing time. But here's what I'll say about Deonner Navarro. And I always feel that I have to preface this by saying that it's not a knock against J.P.R. and Sebia. But you know what it is? And I've made this point often. There are, and I know Wilner disagrees with this. He thinks it's overstated. I think it's because he thinks you can't quantify it necessarily statistically, you know, beyond looking at a pitcher's ERA with a catcher. But I've got too many people around me who say this guy is better defensively than J.P.R. and Sebia for it not to be the case. You know, and they're people without agendas. I mean, with all due, you know, Buck Martinez doesn't have an agenda. He doesn't need to have an agenda. But he sees things from Deonner Navarro he didn't see last year. It's good enough for me. And it's early, and we got to see how the guy performs when it gets hot. But there is one thing that the Toronto Blue Jays have done very well since J.P. Ricciardi's first year with this team. They have managed to bring in a catcher who has contributed defense. I mean, take a look at the guys they've had. Greg Zahn contributed offensively and defensively. There was Benji Molina, a free agent. Jose Molina was here. They have had a knack. Rod Barajas, John Buck. They have had a knack of getting catchers in who, well, Benji Molina obviously had a pedigree, but getting catchers in that were kind of at the stage of their career Deonner Navarro was at last year. And you know what? The Jays have had success riding those guys for a couple of years. Maybe Navarro's the next guy. We know he can hit doubles in this ballpark. And doubles out of my catcher are good enough in this ballpark if he's going to give me defense. So, again, Deonner Navarro wouldn't be kind of the first guy off, if you want to call it the scrap heap, or a guy with one foot in, you know, the backup catcher's camp who comes to Toronto and has a good career. It wouldn't be the first guy to have that happen to. It's one of the things the Jays have done right. Mark in Brampton, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Hi, how are you?
Good, man.
Okay, good. I wanted to talk a bit, a couple of things, but first I wanted to talk about the Blue Jays outfield.
Yep.
The Blue Jays outfield, I mean, we know that Rasmus will produce by the time the season's over. He'll probably have 18 to 22 home runs. He'll have about 80 RBIs, which is, for me, pretty productive. Melky Cabrera seems like he's back. He's able to run. The question is beyond this year, because beyond this year, both Rasmus and Cabrera are free agents.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't look like the Blue Jays have too much money to sign. They couldn't have afford to sign Irvin Santana.
Let me just interrupt for a minute, Mark, and I'll let you finish. Because I asked Alex Anthopoulos during the home opener. I pulled him aside and I said, you know, you had to go, or you didn't have to go, but the story is that the players were asked to forego some money in order to get Santana signed. I said, how on earth can you sign Colby Rasmus to an extension, given what free agent center fielders are going to get, given what he's going to get next year? He's the best free agent player on the market. How can you even? And he said, you know what? The money next year is different than the money this year. You know, essentially what he's saying is they were tied up against the payroll this year. They're not next year. So in other words, don't assume that they have to go and ask players for a deferral in order to get Colby Rasmus signed. Mark, is Mark still there? All right, don't presume that they have to go to players to ask for a deferral to get Colby Rasmus signed. It's two entirely different things. Adam in Toronto, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Morning, Jeff.
Morning.
I also would like to sing Diona Navarro's praises. I think it's a really interesting thing to watch. Look, is he the greatest, you know, catcher ever? No. But as an upgrade, he's looking to be a really great upgrade, not only as a mature influence behind the plate that the pitchers seem to be really digging, but watching a guy who can have sort of an inside swing, who can fight off pitches the other way, who can be a usable batter, a functional batter, because JP was such a, you know, three-pitch strikeout guy that was just killing us and rally killing. And this is clearly, you know, we it wasn't a big flashy name, but it's looking like a very savvy pickup on Alex's part. The other point I wanted to make, and this is something, I mean, we talk about expectations and how it changed from last year to this year, and I've heard you guys talk about what the vibe around spring training was last year and all these guys trying to get together and just the mess that it was. Bill Simmons talked a lot in his picks about the team that's the nobody believes in us team, and just how powerful a motivating force that can be, especially last year when everything, you know, every interview was about you guys are the front runners, you guys are the world contenders, you know, the World Series contenders, and they're saying, well, we have to play the games well, you know, and the questions are all completely different. And I think that the vibe around the spring training, around the park, just the way that you see them playing, these are all guys who can play, and a lot of them are very good ball players. And I would much rather have them be the, you know, coming from behind the turnaround team. It's just, I mean, you must feel the same way. It's just a pleasure watching ball again, and the defense looks fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, they're
Brett Laurie make plays like routine. Like he makes hard all-star plays look routine. It is a joy.
Yeah, no, they are a fun team to watch. I would, you know, the flip side of that is it means the balls are being hit hard. Someone pointed out yesterday, yeah, Burley was great, but man, those balls were smoked, which is true. That's the flip side of it. They, you know what? They're playing a better brand of baseball. That's the only way I could put it. They don't have Jose Reyes, but they're playing a better brand of baseball. There's, even though the hitting wasn't there, the game has been played better. The defense is better. There's less brain cramps in the field. A lot of that, I truly believe, starts with the guy behind the plate. The guy behind the plate sets the tone. The guy behind the plate is the guy, the orchestrator of the defense, if you want to call it that. I know that sounds really pretentious, and I don't mean it to be pretentious, but the guy behind the plate, it's like it emanates from him. And Diona Navarro gives you a professional job behind the plate. J.P. Arencibia last year, God love him, he worked his ass off. I would never, ever, 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 ever say that J.P. Arencibia didn't work hard or that he shirked his defensive responsibilities, because I don't believe that to be the case, but he just didn't give you the same professional performance Navarro's given you to this point this season. And again, I got to reinforce this. It's a guy who hasn't been an everyday catcher for a while. There is a chance this won't keep up. But I also want to reinforce that the Jays have a track record of lucking out with catchers like Navarro. They have a track record of getting lightning in a bottle for a year or 2 years. Mike in Hamilton, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Go ahead, Mike. He gone. Should probably take a break here. We've got Kirk Maltby joining us. You want to keep going? All right. Throw me a caller here. Let's play caller bingo. Let's go under the sea for Chris in Stony Creek. You're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. What's up, Chris?
Jeff. Chris, the lucky Chris from Stony Creek, man. Put me up. How are you doing, man? Great show as always, Jeff.
Thank you. Why are you lucky?
I don't know. You just kind of pulled a name out of the hat, and it was me.
Okay. So. Okay, there you go. You're a grand prize winner. You get my undying love and respect for at least a 10-minute period, which is pretty good.
Excellent. Okay, Jeff, great weekend to watch baseball, obviously. I agree with you completely on Navarro. I think he's making a huge difference with the pitching staff, especially when you watch Burley out there. And I think that moving forward, you know, like when you're looking at a lot of teams that, I'm not going to say the Jays are going to win the World Series, but I'm just saying this. You know, when you get a lot of teams that make it deep into playoffs and win the World Series, they do have a couple players, one or two players, that do catch lightning in a bottle, that kind of play maybe above their heads, or, you know, you didn't expect them to play as well as they did. So it's just a pleasure to watch Navarro work. And, you know, I don't want to hate on JPR and Sebia, because I agree with Greg Zahn that game calling is probably the last skill that comes for a catcher.
Right.
But it's just nice to see this guy, the way he works and how confident the pitching staff is, man.
Yeah, you know,
I think
don't,
it's going to be a big improvement.
Yeah, and Chris, I don't think you're hating in JP or in CB. You know what? As a matter of fact, what I'm going to do is I'm here and now. I'm going to, when I talk about D'Honor Navarro, I'm going to stop saying, you know, I'm not here to pile on JP or in CB. But because all we're saying is, from what we've seen so far, D'Honor Navarro has done a better job than what we saw at a JP or in CB last year at this time, for whatever the reason. For whatever the reason. Doesn't mean that's going to be the case the rest of the year. Doesn't mean it's going to be the case next month even. But right now, it has to be said that D'Honor Navarro has made a difference to this team. A difference that J.P. Arencibia didn't make last year. No disrespect to J.P. Arencibia. It's just a fact. Nobody's hating on J.P. Arencibia. We're just saying that the performance behind the plate has been better this year than it was last year at this time. Simple matter of fact. No hate anywhere. Nobody's dumping on anybody. Just stating a fact and also reminding you that it is 13 games. We are half an hour away from Brendan Shanahan's formal announcement as president of the Toronto Maple Leafs. Kirk Maltby is a pro scout with the Detroit Red Wings. He's one of our favorites. He was a teammate of Brendan Shanahan's. This is a guy who's seen what Brendan Shanahan can do in a locker room. He's seen what he can do in the ice. Probably got a better handle on Brendan Shanahan, the guy, than a lot of us. Is he patient? Is he calculating? Is he a political animal? Is he all he's cracked up to be? Kirk Maltby of the Detroit Red Wings will join us. We'll do a little Shanahan 101 when the Jeff Blair Show continues on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Like free sports tickets, trips, and memorabilia so you can trick your friends, colleagues, and mistresses into thinking that you're some sort of high roller? Hey, join the club.
Welcome to the club.
The Fan Club. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca. Now more of the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
All right, in your list of all-time favorite Kiss songs, where do you put this? Behind Strutter, for sure. I put it maybe third or fourth. What about Beth? Doesn't Beth have to be up there? No, that might be the worst song of all time. Brendan Shanahan has got 20 minutes of sanity left. In 20 minutes, Brendan Shanahan becomes the new president of the Toronto Maple Leafs. And we will have the news conference live on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. And on Sportsnet, I was going to say that in 20 minutes, Brendan Shanahan gets to kiss his life goodbye. But I'm just kidding. He knows more than a lot of people, I think, what this job will entail. Certainly, Brendan Shanahan's a smart enough guy that he will go in with eyes open. And my guess is he's done a certain amount of due diligence in this particular situation. Kirk Maltby's a pro scout with the Detroit Red Wings. He played with the Wings from 95, 96 to 09 and 10, four-time Stanley Cup champion. And two of those occasions, Brendan Shanahan was a teammate of his. Kirk Maltby joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. Kirk, thanks so much for doing this. And I mean, let me ask you, Brendan Shanahan, president of the Toronto Maple Leafs, are you surprised at all?
Well, first of all, thanks for having me on. But, yeah, if you would have told me when I was playing with Brendan Shanahan that in 2014 he'd be being announced as the president of the Toronto Maple Leafs, I probably, you know, just knowing the way he was around the rink and superstition and stuff like that, I probably would have said you're kind of full of it.
Why? When you talk about superstitious, what do you mean by that?
Well, I don't know if it's called, I don't know if you call it superstitious or superstitions, whatever, but, you know, just things he would do to get, you know, before the game in the dressing room, out in the ice, and, you know, heaven forbid, you know, he accidentally shot a puck off your face, and then that game he scored a hat trick, because then he felt that it was necessary to continue that same routine, game in and game out until that streak was down. So, you know, things like that, you know, I guess he's a pretty strong believer in, like, when you do something a certain way, and if it works, you stick with it, and then if it doesn't work, you change it up, obviously, or whatever. But yeah, he had his routines, and some of them got a little different. Like I said, especially if it was something that involved, you know, now that may be extreme, puck off the face, but mm-hmm. along those lines.
Kirk, is he a patient guy?
He better be. you know, so. I think he's learned. I think he's definitely probably with his role that he's took on with the league this past few years.
Mm-hmm.
Not only has he probably just learned a lot of things from you know that side of hockey, but you know, I think he has to really learn to have patience. I think he had to learn to see both sides of you know, the case, whatever it may be. So now it'll be more with players or coaches and GMs and things like that. And, you know, I think it's going to allow him to not just make rash decisions. I think it, you know, don't see something happen in one game and all of a sudden, you know, that's it. The guy's gone or this or that, you know. So I think, yeah, I would say he's going to have patience, and I'm joking when I say he better have it, but I think anybody that's in his position in any organization or business mm-hmm. needs to have some sort of patience.
Hey, Kirk, what's the most interesting thing you've learned about hockey since you've gotten out as a player, and now you're a pro scout with the Red Wings? And I'm wondering if maybe, you know, I'm sure somebody will ask Brendan that as well. Is there something about the game that really kind of surprised you once you were away from it as a player?
Well, I wish there was like recordings, because I'd like to know what they said about me when I was a player, you know, because I see sometimes, you know, some of the comments that get made, but jokingly, you know, I'm still learning, first of all. This is my fourth year retired and being a scout here with the Wings, and I'm still learning. I'm still, you know, especially come days like trade deadline and free agency, July 1st free agency. It's just amazing to me, one, how quickly the media finds out things about mm-hmm. whether it's a signing, a trade, or a guy released, or whatever it might be. I mean, I don't even think there's been times where we've had things filed, not even filed, and it's already being announced on a certain network or something. So it's just amazing the aspects of how social media gets things out there quicker than we could even possibly get a deal done. You know, it's just, you know, sitting on a conference call for negotiating, you know, Ken Holland negotiating maybe a deal or a contract with someone, just kind of how the banter goes back and forth with him and the GM, and, you know, how the agent is trying to get every last possible thing they can for their client, which obviously is what they're paid to do. But it's, like I said, I'm still learning a lot of things. I'm sure there's going to be a lot more interesting things to come across as I, you know, keep getting my feet wet here and hopefully different aspects, but I'm loving it, and it's I definitely not waking up any sore, you know, in the mornings.
Kirk Maltby's a pro scout with the Detroit Red Wings, a former teammate of Brendan Shanahan's, won two Stanley Cups with him. Kirk, let's just get this out here, because there are people who are going to say that, wow, this is just largely a title, and Brendan doesn't strike me as a guy who just takes a title for the sake of having a title, is he?
No, I don't think so. I'd be surprised if that was the case. Brendan's a pretty competitive guy, and fortunately I was able to... And actually, I got to correct you, it was three Stanley Cups.
Three Stanley Cups, I'm sorry, right.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's okay. I just don't want Brendan to get all fired up and make a rash decision. But he's a competitive guy. I've definitely learned that. Obviously, it's a different aspect on the ice and in the office, but I think he's going to, like we talked about patience, he's going to have the patience to make sure he brings in the right people from his position, obviously, mm-hmm. all the way down through management, coaching, and into the players. So, he's obviously been around the game his entire life, so he knows the hockey aspect of it. And I just think he's going to, he'll try in his own mind, make sure he either keeps or brings in the right people that he feels are capable of doing the job that's expected in Toronto. Because I think I'm not telling you anything you don't know. The expectations in Toronto and the coverage and the all that fun stuff is by far maybe the largest in Toronto that I've ever seen in any other organization or city.
Very quickly, Kirk, one word, if you could use one word to describe your recollection of Brendan Shanahan as a leader, what would that be?
Oh man, as a leader, he's, one word. I don't have one word. Maybe one quick phrase would be he'd do anything for his team and teammates. So I think that's what Toronto's going to get from a front office position from him.
Kirk, it was good of you to do this. Thanks so much as always.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me, guys.
Thank you. That is Kirk Maupe, pro scout with the Detroit Red Wings. The Red Wings, of course, in the playoffs. The Red Wings and the Boston Bruins in the first round. It's going to be kind of a cool matchup. We appreciate Kirk joining us. So there you go, Kirk Maupe. Three Stanley Cups with Shanahan. Don't want to shortchange anybody. As he said, you don't want Shanahan to get fired up. And an interesting take from Kirk Maupe on Brendan Shanahan, a guy who will do anything for his team to win. Be interesting to see how that transfers over to the front office, especially the patience aspect of things. Brendan Shanahan, you would like to think, has probably learned a lot about the game since he stepped away from the ice. Probably learned a lot about the politics of the game. I've got to think the one thing, and maybe this doesn't get stressed enough, being in the NHL head office and doing the job he's done as director of discipline. And by the way, I think he's done a pretty good job of that. I'm sure he probably has a better understanding now of some of the psychology involved in dealing with players. So from that point of view, he's a different guy as he becomes president of the Toronto Maple Leafs than he was certainly in his final years as a player. So again, just to get you reset, there will be no Baseball Central today. It'll be back tomorrow. The Jays have the day off today anyhow in Minnesota. Brendan Shanahan's installation as president of the Toronto Maple Leafs will take place at 11 o'clock. That's when the news conference is scheduled from the Air Canada Center. We will carry it live on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. We'll also be on Sportsnet Ontario. It'll be a special Hockey Central presentation. Darren Millard, Nick Kyprios, Doug McLean, and Scotty Morrison will walk you through the news conference, provide analysis, tell you everything you need to know. It is a new day for the Toronto Maple Leafs. In just a few minutes, Brendan Shanahan will be formally unveiled as president of the Toronto Maple Leafs, and you won't have to go anyplace else to hear the news conference and to get all the analysis you need. This is Jeff Blair saying thanks for joining me today. We'll be back tomorrow. We'll have the regular Jeff Blair show tomorrow and Baseball Central as well with Kevin Barker. Enjoy Hockey Central, everybody.